Title of my message tonight is Going the Distance. Now, that if you're a sports person, that could mean one of two things to you. If you're a baseball person, you're thinking, oh yeah, the pitcher, he's going to keep on being able to throw, right down to the end. If you're a boxing fan, then you know the guy's going to try to get through 12 rounds, right? So we're not talking about baseball tonight. We're going to talk about going the distance in the fight that we have against the devil. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, we begin in verse 24. The Bible says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Verse 26 is where we want to focus in on. "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." So he's talking here about running and running, running, and then he kind of switches halfway through verse 26, and he's talking about some boxing terms. And we want to consider this idea of going the distance tonight. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I ask that you'll help us as we look into your word. I pray you'll help me to say what needs to be said. And Lord, I pray you, Holy Spirit, would apply the word to people's hearts. I cannot do that. And I need your strength. I need your help. And I pray that something that would be said tonight would be of benefit, Lord, that we could leave here, Lord, more fit for the battle. Maybe some are weary tonight. They're tired of fighting this flesh, tired of fighting against the devil, and maybe some have already in their hearts given up. I just pray that whatever the needs are, that you would use this message and in your words, Lord. Help me to make some things clear, Lord. I really want to make it clear tonight. I pray you bless as only you can. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul used these two athletic terms to describe his quest for victory. He talked about running. He talked about boxing. And there in verse 26, he says, "So fight I, not as one that beateth the air." Now, the phrase, as I mentioned, going the distance, is a boxing term. It's going through all the rounds, making it through the full fight, the full bout. And not every fight goes all 12 rounds. In the same way, not every Christian makes it in the ring with the devil like they should. They could, but they throw in the towel to get down for the count, and they lay there ready to die or ready to give up. The goal of the opponent in boxing is to knock out the other opponent so he doesn't have to go the full 12 rounds. Makes his job a little bit easier. Now, the goal of the other guy is not to get knocked out, right? And if we are in a fight with the devil. He doesn't want us to go the distance. Sadly, we probably all know some people who haven't gone the distance. They've been knocked out. They've been knocked down. And the devil wants to get us out in the earliest round as possible. Parents, what does that mean to us? That means we'd better be working double time on our kids. That's when he wants to knock them out. He wants to knock them out while they're young. And we've got to be doing all that we can to equip them, to get them the discipline, get them to be able to go the distance, get them to be able to get the strength that they need to fight this fight. The Bible says we should fight the good fight. It is a good fight because we're going against the devil and we're fighting for the Lord. And we need to make sure that we get through, go the distance. We need to make sure that those that are counting on us, that we can help them and train them and help them to go the distance. And our text speaks about being victorious. God doesn't want us to lose. And in Romans 16:20, Paul encouraged the church at Rome with these words. He said, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." Oh, amen for that, huh? The God of peace. It's not real peaceful when you're in the heat of the battle. Some right now are really going through it. And maybe not anybody else knows. You're fighting some inner battles that you don't want to tell anybody about. You think, I got it under control, or I've made it through this before. No, we don't have it under control. We need the Lord, and we need His peace. And one day He will bruise Satan under our feet. And the Bible verse continues, says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. It's His grace that's going to help us. It's not our own strength. So we don't have to be defeated by the devil. We can be victorious. Now, have you ever struggled with a particular sin for a long time? You've battled it. Why does that happen? Well, we might say, well, the flesh is weak. That's true, isn't it? Why did Jesus tell us that, though? Did Jesus tell us that the flesh is weak to give us an excuse so that we can keep falling to the same thing over and over again? Well, I tried, the flesh is weak. Is that why He told us that? No, I don't think so. In fact, I know it's not why He told us that, so we'd be prepared and we'd understand that the flesh is weak. So we would do something to get some strength so that we can fight the battle, not in our own strength, but so that we can be victorious. He didn't give us that warning to provide us with a good, easy way out, to give us an excuse for failing. So tonight we're going to consider several things that are needed if we hope to go the distance and be victorious against the devil, against temptation, against sin. And the first thing that we need, if we want to win, is desire. It's very simple. Now, I don't know about you. If I'm going to get in a fight, I don't want to get in a fight, but if I'm going to get in a fight, I don't want to lose. Okay? I don't want to lose. Have you ever seen someone in a fight and it looked like he really didn't want to win? What was the result? You already know. He lost. He didn't fight like he wanted to win, and so he lost. I remember very vividly going down and watching some high school boys several years, many, many years ago. And they were matched up. They were having some boxing matches. They had the gloves on. And one guy in particular, I'll never forget, he just kind of kept turning and turned away like this. And his opponent was just pummeling him. He didn't want to fight. He didn't look like he wanted to win, and he lost. Well, the scriptures tell us that you can't win if you don't, against sin, if you don't want to. I think that's the main problem. A lot of times, we don't want to have victory over it. We'll say, oh yeah, no, that's terrible, I need to have victory. But we don't really, really, really want it. In Psalm 19, verses 13 and 14, David knew that he was in a fight, and he prayed this: keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. He was asking God, please don't let this sin beat me up. How often do we pray that like that? He says, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. How much, you think about the sin that you're struggling with now, or the most, or whatever. How much do you really beg God for victory? If it's casual, we probably can't expect much. And also, you know, I've learned over the years that what I pray about is a pretty good indication of what's important to me. You know, what we spend a lot of time asking God for shows what's the most important to us. If we don't spend much time asking for victory, begging God for victory, looking for victory, that might mean it's not that important. You can tell a lot about your desires by what you're praying for. And the reason many people don't go the distance simply is they don't want to. They just don't want to. Now, they want to have enough victory not to have the repercussions of their sin. Right? We want to have enough victory so that we don't suffer all the reaping. But we don't want to go all out and really conquer this thing because we kind of like it a little bit. Now, don't look at me like you don't like sin. You do. That's why you sin. That's why we sin. That's why I sin, because at some point I'm stupid enough to like it. Now, Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." We need to hate it. But we don't. And if we're not having victory over sin, we have to ask ourselves, do I really hate this thing or not? And unfortunately, a lot of times the answer is no, we like our sin. That's why we keep going back to it. And that could be the reason that you've been battered around in the ring by the devil. I told you I have several points, kind of going to hit them and keep on going. Secondly, so we need desire. Secondly, we need a decision. We need to make a decision. Wanting victory is not enough. You've got to decide to get it. Now, this is not the power of positive thinking. Some people say, well, if I just decide, it's going to happen. No, but if you don't decide, it's not going to happen. Okay? You've got to make a decision. I want victory, which is also a decision. I'm going to fight this thing. All right? The scripture says in Romans 6:11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, reckon. That word reckon means to conclude. It means to count. In other words, mark it down. I am dead to sin. Just reckon it. Just say, that's how it is. The Bible says we're supposed to reckon it. We're supposed to make that decision. I'm supposed to mark it down. I'm as good as dead to that sin. Let me put it in layman's term. I'm not going to do it. I know the flesh is weak. I know that. And we will stumble. But we've got to come to some point and say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I am sick and tired of this thing just beating me up and having dominion over me and defeating me. I am not going to do it. We've got to come to a place where we just simply decide this thing is going to die. Because if you don't fight it, it's going to whoop you. You've got to decide. Decide right now that it is possible to have victory. See, the devil convinces us that we cannot be victorious. You've tried before. You've tried before. Look at that one's failed and that person's failed. And you can't go on. Yeah, I can. Not in my strength. In God's. The verse says that we can be dead to sin. And it also says how we can be. It says through Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't be presumptuous. Trust God. But decide. Thirdly, discernment. It's funny, I taught that in Growing in Grace class. Used some of the same verses that Dr. Volgan was preaching this morning. He touched on it this morning, and it's in here tonight. So only the people who are in Growing in Grace got all three. Discernment is the ability to distinguish between truth and error, virtue and vice, and right and wrong. Also good and evil, sure. And if you want to go the distance in this fight, you got to fight by the book. You got to know the basics. Okay? You've got to, you know, a boxer, he develops his footwork. Now, I'm not going to get up here and show you all the fancy footwork I have. I'd trip and fall flat on my face. Okay? But he's developing that footwork, you know. He's on the balls of his feet. He's not on his heels. You know, he's practicing that jab. He's practicing that cross. That's where all the power is, guys. You throw a couple jabs, and then you let him have it. You put your, you know. I'm not a great fighter, really. I don't know what would happen if I got in the boxing ring. But I do know one thing. I will try to put as much of the 210 pounds I have into that punch. I'll try that. That's getting your cross down. You got to master your opponent, everything. You got to improve your speed. You've got to study your opponent. You've got to get the basics down. You've got to know what's the right thing to do and the wrong thing to do in the ring. There's just some things you don't do when you're boxing, right? You don't bite your opponent's ear off. Okay. All right. I know some have tried it, but it's just not the best thing to do. We got to go by the book. We got to get the basics down. You've got to study God's word. That is the book we've got to follow. That's what gives us discernment. And it'll help you to know what move to make next in your fight against the devil. You know, sometimes you don't have a lot of time to react. You're in the heat of the battle. You've got to know what to do. It's got to come like that. It's got to be second nature. And you've got to know the book like that. And you've got to listen to the Holy Spirit when He speaks. And you've got to listen and follow Him and obey Him. You know, many times when I've counseled people over the years who seem to be constantly defeated by the same thing, just their life is going down. And usually, unfortunately, it takes some huge catastrophe. They've been battling the sin. They don't get help. They don't seek counsel. They think they got it, and they haven't had it for years. They haven't had victory for years. And then all of a sudden, I mean, it's now on the verge of something really, really, really bad going to happen. Then they get help. And when I ask, well, you know, what's going on? Usually you can trace it down to almost the same thing every time. They're not consistently in the book. They're not in the Bible every day. Meaning, no Bible, no discernment. No discernment means you don't know how to fight. It doesn't matter how tough we are physically. By the way, if you are tough physically, one day you're going to be old. And you're not going to be as tough as you used to be, or as much as you think you are. And then when you think you are tough, and you try it, and the body doesn't work anymore like it used to, then you realize all of a sudden. But the point is this, we need God's Word. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, it says, "For everyone that useth the milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness." Unskillful in the word. That's the problem. When we're unskillful in the word, will have no discernment. It continues, he says, "For he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to him that are of full age, even those who by reason of their, by use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." That idea of discerning good and evil, knowing what to do, what's right and what's wrong in the battle, in the fight, in the ring, we'll know because we've been taking time in the book. And God gives us discernment. I know this will work. I know this is not what I should do. Get to know the book. Practice your jabs. Work on the cross. Get your feet moving. Do what you got to do. Know this book. Love this book. Don't get it and read it and say, "Well, you know, I have my devotions today." No, no, no. I need this. We're not as tough as we think we are. I don't care how long you've been saved, how long you've been reading the Bible. You know, I don't care how long any of us have been preaching. We still need this book and God's help and God's strength desperately. Or we're going to get destroyed. We've got to have that discernment. And if you're unskillful in the word, you'll be unable to discern which move is right and which move is wrong. And you won't go the distance. Let me give you the fourth one. Determination. Something else we need if we're going to go the distance. It's not easy. Sometimes you're going to get bruised in the ring. Sometimes you're going to get battered around a little bit. Thankfully, there's that little time in between rounds. Sometimes the Lord gives us that little bit of time to recuperate a little bit and collect our senses and go back at it. You're going to get tired. I get tired. Have you ever gotten so tired of fighting against sin, you just said, "What's the use?" You ever been there? You might be there right now. Man, I've been fighting. I'm so sick of this. I am so sick of this. Don't give up. Need some determination. Turn with me. I've been reading a lot of these scriptures myself, but turn with me to Psalm 101. I want you to see something here. I preached a whole sermon years ago out of Psalm 101, and it was just simply, the title of it was simply Determination. Say, is that spiritual to have a whole sermon just determination? Well, basically the whole psalm is determination, so I think if God's Word has got a theme that runs through it, I think it's okay to preach a whole sermon on it. Determination. Psalm 101. Now, notice with me, you don't have to count them. I know some of you who are attention. Just notice that a lot of times the word will and shall are going to show up here. Verse 1, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Sounds like determination to me, doesn't it? This is something I'm going to do. Not just a decision, but a premeditated plan. He says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. We could add in there on the internet, on the cell phone, on the TV, on wherever. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He's not going to have a bunch of the horrible people with around him. He said, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Determination. He was determined not to let sin have the victory. He was determined there were some things he was going to do and some things he wasn't going to do. And we must predetermine what we're going to do before a temptation comes. You've got to predetermine. You've got to say in your mind, when that thing pops up, I'm not looking. When I'm driving down the road and I see something over there, I put the visor down. Whatever it is, you predetermine what you're going to do and you follow it. You are deciding, not only deciding, but determining what you're going to do. A fighter knows what to do when his opponent throws an uppercut. He knows what to do, right? Hopefully he's going to duck, right? And so must we know how to react when the devil throws his punches. God wants us to be victorious. You know, we've got everything we need. We've got the Word of God. We've got the Spirit of God. But why do we fail? I think sometimes, and I'm not trying to oversimplify it, sometimes we're just not committed. We're not determined. It goes back to desire. I know some of these points are so similar, but anyway. We're not committed. Our text speaks of beating the air. You don't win many bouts missing all the time. Okay. Now, that idea, you know, some of the commentators say, well, it's really how they practice. They would do some shadow boxing. You know, they just... You ever see these guys, man, before they get in the ring? You know, they're dancing around. They're all, you know, they got their fancy stuff on. And then they got the mean look. And they're doing all the little things. And, man, they're all showing. And they get into the ring and they get knocked out in two rounds. You know, I mean, they got it down until they get in the fight. They're just beating the air. Anybody, well, maybe not me, but anybody can beat the air and look like they know what they're doing. You know, with a little bit of practice, I might even actually be able to fake somebody. But until I got in the ring, But the point is this. Don't beat the air. All show, no go. Is that you? Now think about it. You got your Bible. You got your church clothes on. Got your ministries. And then you go out tomorrow and you'll be defeated by the same sin again. Why? Shadow boxing. It looks good. Man, we look good, man. It's Sunday, man. I'm at Fairhaven. And I'm looking good. Well, maybe not me, but you know, you are. And you go right out and it's just fall flat on your face again. And you get knocked down. You're like, you're staggering around. The devil comes up one more time. Boom. What happened? Beating the air. Paul said, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. He said, I'm going to make contact. I'm going to focus on something and I'm going to hit that. I'm going after it. I want it. I'm not going to beat the air. And we need to make some determination that we're going to stop beating the air. We're going to stop shadow boxing. We're going to step up and step in and put our weight into it and hit something. Now, self-determination will not win a bout all by itself. I mean, you can sit there and say, I'm going to beat this guy, but if you haven't trained and you're not prepared, and you're not ready, you're going to fall down. You're just going to get wiped out. But it's got to start with that. Fighting against the devil, you're not going to win by saying, oh yeah, I'm going to do it, and then fail. No, but you've got to start with the determination. Now, Peter, we can all think of Peter, right? The Lord warned him. He said, you know, you're going to forsake me. And Peter determined that he would never forsake the Lord. And he said, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And what do we see him doing? Being offended. But he determined. He did. It was a good start. But who was he depending on? Himself. He wasn't depending on the Lord. So that leads us to our next requirement. Number 5 is dependence. Dependence. We need spiritual strength to fight spiritual battles. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Oh, walk in the Spirit. Let the Lord strengthen us. Okay. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10. Why don't you turn there with me if you would. Isaiah 41:10. Are you running out of energy for the fight? Man, you've been at it, but boy, you've been whooped up on. It's getting tiring. It's just, wow, I don't know if I can keep at this thing. Maybe I'm really going at it with your kids. Man, it seems like one problem after another. And once you think you got one thing sorted out, then another problem rises up, and maybe it's your finances. You've been working hard. You've made the budget. You started keeping the budget. And then before you could get the emergency fund saved up, you had an emergency. Oh, man, I've been working. I've been doing everything I can. Oh, we run out of energy sometime. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Listen to the promise. I will strengthen thee. I can't do it. All right, that's okay, God says. I can. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will do what? I'll help thee. Now, I don't know about you, but when there's someone bigger than me wanting to beat me up, if someone bigger than them comes along and wants to help me, I'm all for that. Right? Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, yeah. Devil just landed a good one and you're staggering. And the Lord says, oh, no problem. Holds you up. You know, this verse is perfect. He's gonna give us what we need. He promises to strengthen us, help us, and hold us up. Sounds a lot like what we need when we're in the ring with our adversary. But we need to depend on Him. We're going to know He's going to help us. And having that confidence He's going to help us lets us get back up and get in the fight. Lets us go back at the adversary. Number six, discipline. Discipline. If you want to go the distance, you got to develop some spiritual muscles. Oh, yeah. Fighters, they lift a lot. They eat well. They try to bulk up. Now, God tells us what we need to feast on to get strong, and it's His Word. So you guys already said that. Yep. But you have to have the discipline to get in the Word. Now, Acts chapter 20, verse number 32 says this, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up." You want to get built up? It's in the Word. The Word is able to build us up. Once again, get tired of hearing it. You got to be in the Bible every day. And not just in the Bible. Digging, looking, loving it, applying it, trying to obey it, seeing things about yourself, seeing things about God and praising Him for who He is, seeing what He'll do, seeing how God will equip you to help someone else and to have victory over sin. All of that, we've got to just be searching and looking. If we can't get up in the morning and spend time with God, we're going to be pummeled by the devil throughout the day. I was going to say try it, but don't try it. But if you get up tomorrow and don't have your devotions, don't have a good time with God, see how your day goes. And then try it for a week. See how your week goes. Some people say, "I do that all the time." Yeah, and how's your life? Not very victorious, is it? I am so bad. I am so corrupt. I am so weak. I've got to be in the Bible every day. People say, "Man, religion and all that, that's for weak people." Amen. Count me in. God says flesh is weak. Not as an excuse, but as I better do something about it. So I need to develop that discipline. Get up, eat a good meal in the Word of God, and be built up for the fight. Number seven, there needs to be some deferring. Ooh, what's that? Well, if you would, you can turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Get to that in a moment. Even the most experienced fighter doesn't know everything. You know what he has? He has a trainer, doesn't he? Why does he have a trainer? Because he needs help. If we ever hope to go the distance, we got to learn to listen to our trainer. In other words, we got to defer to him. That guy out there in the ring, he getting beat up. He's the blood's flying. He can't see anything. He's just getting hammered, and he thinks, "Oh, I know what to do next." No, you don't. You can't even see straight. You ever get that way spiritually? You can't even think straight. You can't even see straight. You don't even know which way you're going, and it feels like you get clobbered. You don't even know where that one came from. The trainer's in the corner. He's watching the whole thing. He knows exactly what's going on. He sees what his fighter's doing wrong. He sees what the other guy's doing what's right. And he yells out a command and a shout, "Do this!" And if he does it, what happens? It works. Our guys know that in the wrestling mat. Right? The whole crowd is yelling and screaming. There's only one voice they hear. And that's Mr. Wright's. That's all they hear. You know, my son used to tell me, he said, "Dad, I just, I said, I would yell. I don't even know what I'm yelling. Just do this, you know. Win! Get him!" Crossface is always a good one, right? Just give him that one, and he said, "Dad, I never hear anybody. I hear voices. I never heard anyone. The only voice I heard was Mr. Wright's." Now, it doesn't mean he always did what Mr. Wright told him to do. And you know as well as I do, sometimes you know what you're supposed to do. You just can't do it. Oh, but you got to be zeroed in. Because that trainer, That coach, our Lord, knows what we need to do. And we got to zero in on Him. And that needs to be the only voice we're listening to. And we need to defer to Him. Not trust our own reflexes. Not trust our own ways, thinking I know better. Right? Oh, anyway. I was going to get diverted. The fighter, he needs to listen. Now, in Romans 6, verse 13. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Yield yourselves to God. Stop doing it your way. Okay, as the boxer in the ring has got to listen to his trainer, we've got to listen to God. If what you're doing isn't working and giving victory, it might be time to stop doing it and try something else. Like, listen to the one who knows what we ought to be doing. He knows what we've got to do to win. And if we're being knocked senseless, we need to stop fighting our own way. And Muhammad Ali, he developed a technique called the rope-a-dope. Sounds silly, but that's what he called it, the rope-a-dope. And he would lean against the ropes, put his hands up, and he just let his opponent just start swinging and swinging and swinging, and let his opponent get all wore out. Then when his opponent was all tired from throwing them punches, he would come off the ropes and he would go after him. I think that's how he beat Foreman. I guess how that worked. You say, well, yeah, that's a great technique. It might have worked for him. But I'll tell you, you try that against the devil, you're done. Okay? It's not time to just sit back and relax and just put your hands up for a little while and let the devil beat on you. He's tougher than you. He doesn't tire out. And you're not going to bounce off the ropes refreshed. Okay? But people do that. Oh, I'm just tired right now. Let me just, okay, boom, 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 boom. You know, pretty soon, yeah, okay, I'm ready now. No, you're not. If what you're doing isn't working, listen to your trainer. Yield yourself to God. Defer to Him. He knows more. Yield to Him, obey Him, let Him have His way. You know, some people, I mentioned earlier, they'll never seek help until it's too late. And then others will go and seek help, but they won't follow the advice and the counsel that they're given. Listen to God's advice. Number 8, need some disablement. There's some things you just need to disable, right? And now, if you're trying to... Now, I'm not saying you should do this, but if you're, as an example here, if theoretically you were at a go-kart place and they have a governor on there and you disabled it, you'd probably beat the other people in a race around the track. Now, I wouldn't suggest you do that, but you could see how disabling something can give you a victory, right? Give you at least an advantage. Paul knew, and if you could turn with me back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, Paul knew that before he could beat his opponent, he had to disable another adversary. That was himself. If you want to win against the devil, you've got to first conquer yourself. We're here in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. This is immediately following, I fight, I don't beat the air, I'm making contact. And then he says, I keep under my body. The first thing he makes contact with is himself. The word, that phrase there, to keep under, literally means to hit under the eye. Okay, so... If if you come up here and you let me hit you under the eye, you'll probably have a bruise, right? You'll probably have a black eye. You'll probably have a shiner, okay? It means a hit under the eye, to buffet, to disable an antagonist. Now, but who was the antagonist? He's not talking about the devil right away. Who's the antagonist? He says, I keep under my body. He said, I'm going to work on me first. I got to realize there's some problems with me. There's some deficiencies with me. The reason we don't win in the fight against the devil is because we got some problems. And we got to disable those things. We got to give ourselves the black eye. We got to subdue ourselves. We've got to have some victory. We must learn to deny ourselves and be willing to go through a little self-inflicted pain to have victory. Now, I'm not talking about literally punching yourself in the eye. But let's use it for instance. If you're having trouble with a cell phone and looking at things you shouldn't be looking at in the internet, you need to take some drastic actions. Really, you do. Try getting rid of it. I can't live without it. Well, you can't live with it because you're continually being defeated. Right? You may say, well, that would hurt. I can't do without it. It would hurt. Yeah, that's the point. Jesus taught that principle in the Bible, actually. And we would do well to follow it. He said in Matthew 5:30, and if thy right hand offend thee, you know what you're supposed to do. Cut it off. And cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast in hell. Now, Jesus was not talking about self-mutilation, okay? He taught that we need to get serious about fighting against sin. Hebrews 12:4 says, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You haven't fought that much that you've bled about it. Jesus did. He fought for us. And we need to let him have a victory. We may need to give ourselves a spiritual black eye in order to get ready for an opponent much tougher than ourselves, and that's the devil. If you can't conquer yourself, how are you going to conquer the devil? That's hard. I know it's hard. That's why we're preaching it. We got to take some steps. We got to want it. We got to determine. We got to deprive ourselves. You know, I hate the idea of dieting. I don't like that. I don't like the word. I don't like anything. I don't like the idea of giving up something I like. You know, I like it. It would hurt for me not to eat some things. I cut back a little bit here and there, but like a full-blown diet, I think I tried it. Okay. And why do we start and quit? Because it hurts. We don't want to say no to ourselves. We need to get tough. We got to get purposed. You know, blowing a diet, that's one thing. But not keeping yourself under control and not being willing to tell yourself no and cause some self-inflicted pain and denying yourself some sin that you know you need to give up. If you won't do that, you're history. You cannot go the distance. You will be defeated. That whole process of, you know, if your hand offend thee, cut it off. You know, some people refer that to as radical amputation. Radical amputation. Get serious and cut some things out of your life that need to be cut out. If there's some friend that keeps pulling you down, radically amputate it, not them, but cut the friendship. Cut it off. If the cell phone is giving you, cut off the service. If the credit card keeps you getting in debt, cut up the credit card. Do some radical amputation. Maybe that point should have been called dismemberment instead of disablement. Number 9, we got to move. We're getting there. Romans 13:14. Deprivation. We got to deprive ourselves. And it's pretty close to this other one. This other one's you got to knock yourself up beside the head if you need to. But here the idea, we got to deprive ourselves. Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. A boxer must look for every advantage he can get. He doesn't want to be a lot lighter than his opponent. Okay? I'm 210 pounds. You give me a 110-pound guy, I'd much rather go against him than the 250-pound guy. Okay? 110-pound guy, he might hit me, and it might hurt. But the 250-pound guy might hit me, and I might fall on the ground. Okay? So weight, there's a little bit something to the weight, but you don't, the boxer doesn't want to have flabby weight. That slows him down. He wants every ounce of muscle possible. And that takes that idea of self-denial. He deprives himself of some things that he really, really wants. And in the spiritual battle which we are in, remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If we want to win that spiritual battle, then we've got to take this advice and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lesser of. What carnal appetite do you feast on? That's what we have to ask. What is it we feast on? Is it something that we're listening to? Is it something we're looking at? Is it something we're doing? We've got to be careful. Covetousness, lust, anger, worldly music, gossip, laziness, all of that. We've got to deprive ourselves of that, those fleshly lusts that never or will never go the distance. Let me give you number 10. Number 10. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. In context, I'm just talking about running the race, but there's a good point to it. He says, wherefore seeing, and that's okay because also in 1 Corinthians 9, it's talked about running the race and boxing. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know the verse. It says, let us lay aside what? Every weight. Everything that's going to slow us down. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We need to, number 10 is discarding. Discuss some things we got to discard. Some things you need to cut off. Some things you just need to throw away. Throw it away. What do you got in your life? Go back home. You know what's sitting there. You know what temptation is. You know what's on that video. You know what's in the words or the beat that's on and in those songs. You know all of that. You know the clothes that might not be pleasing to God. Get rid of it. Just get rid of it. You can't get in the ring with the wrong stuff. It's going to slow you down. Got to get rid of it. And maybe that's why we're not having victory. Because there's just some things we're going to hang on to. We're not going to lay it aside. No, but! No, lay it aside. Lay it aside. What is it? I don't know. What is it if God's speaking to you? I'm just trying to give you a few points on how we can go the distance. We need to discard some things. Once we've seen, once again, I should say, we've seen that it takes work. This is not easy. It's not just pray. I prayed. I walked the aisle and I prayed and asked God to help me to have victory. That is a great start. That's desire. That was point number one. If that's all you get, you might get out of the first round. But I'm giving you 12 points. Because it's 12 rounds in the fight. And you gotta, I want to have victory. Let me come down and pray. Great place to start. He's not going to do it. We need to pray like everything depends upon God, but we need to do our part. We need that desire. We need to make a decision. We need to have some determination. Over the last couple of months, this whole idea kept coming back to me about the fact that there's more to it than just praying and thinking we're going to have victory. We have to do something. We've got to want it. We have to get engaged. We have to fight. We have to, if this problem, get some verses on it. Study some verses on it. Memorize the verses, but memorizing is not going to do it. Then you got to put it into practice. You've got to just be determined and go after it. When you get knocked out, get back up and fight again. It's not simple. It's a fight. It's going to take work. Work to prepare. Work to endure. Doesn't the Bible say endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? So there needs to be a discarding. Number 11, dedication. Turn with me to Romans 12. Very familiar passage, but worth looking at. Dedication. You ever hear that phrase, choose your battles? You know, in the Christian life, you don't always get to choose your battles. Sometimes the attack comes and you've got to respond. And then there's other times, though, where God says, I want you to get involved in this fight. And you're like, I don't want to get in that one. No, you don't understand. Dave, I said, I want you to do that. Yeah, but that's not comfortable. Things are going pretty good over here. But no, get into that fight over there. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's dedication. Here am I, Lord. Here it is. Holy, acceptable unto God. When we're going to be acceptable, we're going to have no will of our own. We've dedicated ourselves. Which is your reasonable service? And if we do that, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You say, but there's this one fight that God wants me to be in, and I don't want that fight. Don't really have a choice. We're supposed to be dedicated to God, to do what He wants us to do. So we can find out what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to dedicate ourselves to follow Him and fight the battles He wants us to fight. That also means that some battles that we want to fight that God doesn't want us to fight, get out of it and leave it alone. But some you just need to drop. You know that. Let God have His way. And some fights God wants you to get into, is like, I don't want to get into it. Is there some battle you're reluctant to give up that you know you should? Or some battle you hesitate to get in that God wants you to get in? If it's God's will, we need to dedicate ourselves to the battle. Last, defend. Number 12 is defend. While doing a study on temptation, I noticed that God over and over told us to flee from temptation. Flee from youthful lust. All these, just flee, run, get out of there. However, that's not what He told us to do when we fight the devil. We're told to resist him. Run away from temptation, but stand up and fight against the devil. In James chapter 4, and that's why we have to defend. James chapter 4, verse 7, you know it. Resist the devil and he will what? He will flee. But what happens when we're fleeing? We're running from the devil. What happens? Are we going to win? No. Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against." Get that idea? Stand against. The devil attacks your family? The attitude is, no. He's got a fight on his hands. I'm not saying that presumptuously. I'm not saying that you can fight in your own strength, but is your family worth fighting for? Are they worth praying over and agonizing in prayer and asking God, God, please help, please direct, please intervene. Defend, stand against the wiles of the devil. In verse 13 of Ephesians 6, it says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." The evil day is coming, a day of trouble. "And having done all, to stand." Have you done all to stand? If not, put some of these 12 tips into practice. A boxing match scheduled for 12 rounds. Gave you 12 points. There's a whole lot more we could say, but you don't want me to, and I don't either. Are you going to go the distance? We're in a spiritual fight. How are you doing? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. The devil's going to throw some low blows.